Yeah, for those that of you who don't know me, obviously Rana said my name is Grant. We one of the elders in the church. I'm a chartered accountant by profession, and I work for a firm called Deloitte. It's a professional services company, and I'm involved in auditing. So we look after corporate clients and across various industries, and I find it pretty interesting. Yeah, I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Retta. She's an amazing mom. I just want to honor her for the wonderful mom that she is to Bianca. She really looks after her, and Bianca's a real blessing to us. She's 7 months old now. All right, before we get into the sermon, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you that we can come into your house tonight, Lord God. Lord, I just want to echo what Etienne was saying earlier, just the pastors in the church, Lord, the staff that work here, Father God, the leaders, Lord, everyone who puts their time, God, into your kingdom, just to serve, Lord. We just thank you for every person in this church, Lord, for their hearts tonight. And Lord, may you be glorified tonight, Lord, in the service, Lord. May people's hearts just turn closer to you, Lord God. May our hearts be knitted with you tonight, Lord God. We just thank you for your word. Thank you that you just speak through me tonight, Lord God, and may your name be lifted up. Amen. Great. Okay, so last week Reino shared a message, and I'm very grateful that he did share that message, because it kind of helped me set out my sermon in a particular order, because I was struggling to say, you get a word, but how do you actually present it to people? So what Reino spoke about was God as a God of the generation. So he's the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, he looks beyond just the now, but from generation to generation, his blessing and his love has been poured out from generation to generation. And what he also spoke about was blessings and curses that flow from both obedience and disobedience. So the word says that the sins of our fathers, the iniquities of our fathers, get passed on from the third to the third and to the fourth generation, whereas the blessings of the fathers get passed on to up to the thousandth generation. So just from that point of view, God is a God of generations, and he focused on being obedient and living out the life of obedience. So I'm just gonna take my watch off here. Reino's sermon sort of fits into the middle of what I want to say this evening. Thankfully. I'm gonna focus on the background of how Israel came into covenant with God, how the nation of Israel was formed. And then I'm also gonna look to how that applies to us today, many generations later. Okay, I don't have slides this evening. My slides are actually Bianca. It's very difficult to prepare slides if you're carrying her in your arms while you're preparing the sermon. But when we were kids and growing up, going to church, the pastor and the minister brought the Bible along, and we all had our Bibles, and we followed. So hopefully you brought your Bible this evening. I do find it quite interesting sometimes in church. People come to church, but they don't bring their Bible. And I was just thinking sometimes, well, what happens if you want to share the word with someone in church? So I encourage you to bring your Bible along. It's not a religious thing or anything, but it's just useful to be able to bring a word. So that's my excuse. Sorry, what? BlackBerry does count. It's got some nice apps. Okay, great. We're just going to start off by reading from Genesis 11, verse 31. So if you do have your Bibles, you can follow, and I'll read clearly and slowly, and hopefully you can follow. Excuse me. Okay, from verse 31. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now what I find quite interesting here is when God made this promise to Abram that he will be a great nation, and in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He didn't have a son yet. He didn't have children. He didn't have offspring to be able to do what the Lord had said. So he really just stepped out in faith and obeyed the Lord's command, and he went to the land of Canaan, believing the Lord. Okay, so we all know the story of the Israelites. God spoke this word to Abraham, and then he had the son of the covenant was born to him, being Isaac. And Isaac then had a son called Jacob. And both to Isaac and to Jacob, God confirmed this promise that he'd given to Abraham. Now, then Jacob had a son he had 12 sons, and one of the sons' names was Joseph. And Joseph was sent down to Egypt as a slave. His brothers sold him as a slave, and he went down to Egypt, and basically, he rose to power. He became the second in command of the Egyptian nation, and he was a very wise man. He stored up food in a time of great famine, and his brothers and father and family, they also suffered during this famine, and they then came down to Egypt to get food. And he met up with his family, and basically they settled in Egypt. And for 400 years, they were slaves in the land of Egypt. Now, the Lord then raised someone up, being Moses, and Moses obeyed God's voice, and he led the people out of Egypt, and we see that in Exodus. Now, what happened was the people sinned in the wilderness, in the desert, once they'd gone through the Red Sea, and they stayed in the desert for 40 years. And this is where we find ourselves now, where I'm going to refer to, is the Israelites are at the Jordan. They are about to enter the promised land, and Moses comes and he confirms the law that God gave to them as they had left Egypt 40 years ago. All right. So that's just the background, the setting the scene to where we are. And I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 to 12. Cool. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, the reason why I came across the Lord gave me this word is because I was studying the first five books of the Bible. What I did was I just started with Genesis and I read through it, and then I came to Deuteronomy and I started reading Deuteronomy. And I'd encourage you to do that. If you want to read the word, it's nice sometimes just to start the book and just read through it, and God just confirms his word to you as you read through it like that, just methodically through it. So, the word Deuteronomy means second law or a copy of the law. I didn't know that until I think yesterday, but I understood that it was a confirmation of the law that God had given Moses in the wilderness all those years ago. So Moses is he's actually about to die, unfortunately for him, and he's not going to see the promised land. The Lord said that because of his sin, he wasn't going to see the promised land, and he just comes before the nation of Israel and wants to share this blessing and this heritage that the Israelites have been given. All right. So it's a reminder of the covenant, and in verse 3 we see that it says, "Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you." And verse 10 says, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So it's just a confirmation of the covenant that God had cut with Abraham and his son and grandson. Now, what I find quite interesting is the Jewish people. They're big on their traditions. You'll see that throughout the world. They're very big on family and community. So once a week for the Sabbath, they'll get together and celebrate the Sabbath. And it's a family occasion, and they just remind each other of God's traditions the traditions that God has given them. Some of the traditions are man-made. They made them up themselves. So it's quite religious, or legalistic, shall I say, sometimes. But they do remind each other of the blessings that God had bestowed on the nations of Israel and the covenant that God had cut with the Israelites. They're also very big on community. They stay together in the same area. I mean, you can see that even here in Cape Town. They're a very loyal people. They look after each other. They're big on community. They make sure that people are doing okay in their community. This is now generally speaking. Obviously, there will be exceptions to this. And they're also very shrewd business people. Okay. So what they do is it's a family business. The business gets passed on from one generation to the next, and it's a wide family affair. So we have a client that I've been involved in at some point while I was at Deloitte. They're a Jewish family. Now they brought the one meeting we had with them. They just wanted to show us the relationship that we've had over the years. They brought the original founding document of the company. And one of the firms that merged with other firms to eventually become Deloitte was the appointed auditor at the time of the company's formation. So it just shows how loyal they are, not even amongst each other, but to their service providers. They keep the same lawyers for all the years. They have the same bankers. And that's just how they operate. And they raise up their kids to take over. I mean, while I was, I think I did the audit for 3 years there, and I could see by the third year, they'd already sort of identified the son who's the next heir. He was kind of running the show now. And that's how they operate. And they take a very long-term view on their business. They're not very short-term focused. They're not trying to make a quick buck. They want to pass on this business to generations to come. They also don't have external debt. They don't, they just create their own internal cash, and they don't have to borrow from banks. And that's just because they're not trying to, overextend themselves, like some of the businesses we see in the world today with the financial crisis. You know, people taking big risks, exposing themselves to major risk. They're also very confident people. They know who they are. They don't have identity issues. They just get on with it and they do it. They're not scared of hard work or, they're not worried about whether that's going to work or not. They've seen this thing work and they're going to keep on doing it. It's quite hot this way tonight. Okay. Now I want to contrast this with modern society. We're very individualistic. Okay. So people, it's all about themselves. Not so big on family. Disrespecting our forefathers, the way they did things, saying it's very archaic. They lived in the dark ages. They don't know what they're talking about. And people just trying to forge their own way forward. Forgetting the heritage that's been laid down over the years. That's they can tend to ridicule previous generations, it's a consumerism kind of focus. So what pleasure can I get now? What will work for me now? It's a short-term focus. I'm talking about the Western world in general now, okay? What works for me now, rather than carrying on a tradition that is based, that worked over many years. Okay. Now, I just want to focus on three verses again in this passage in Deuteronomy 6. It's from 6 to 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, every early Israelite understood this thing that was said there, and that's what they did. They took hold of this word that God had given them. This is God's word to them as a nation, and they made it their own. They held onto it. They lived it out, and they were obedient to it. They showed their loyalty to God by obeying His word. They shared it with their children. They spoke about it as the word said. Of course, we know the history and that they didn't always do this, but that was what they understood. This was God's commandment to them, and they followed it. Right. Now we even see this in Jesus' life in the New Testament. Okay. Jesus was raised a rabbi, so he knew the scriptures extremely well. He made them his own. He would have experienced them in his life every day, and he knew which scripture to quote when, how to apply it in his life. So if we go to his temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, and we can see from verse 1 to 11 how he applied the word in his life. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now that's a direct quotation from Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. Okay. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And that is a quote from Deuteronomy 6 verse 16. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Okay, and that's quotes from Deuteronomy 6:13 and 10 verse 20. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Yeah, so Jesus, he knew what scripture to apply to the attack of the enemy. He had made the scripture his own, and he could quote it. He could stand on it and understand that this promise was made to him as a Jew. And, you know, this is God's word for his life. And when the enemy comes against him, he can make that stand on God's word. What I found quite interesting is that there are, in the New Testament, there are over 80 references to Deuteronomy, or quotes directly from Deuteronomy. So the writers of the New Testament, they knew God's word. They knew the application of God's word, even in their present situation. And that's really encouraging for us to get to that point as well. All right. Now, I quite enjoy Twitter. You get to follow people that you sort of want to follow that are quite interesting. And I follow a guy called Nicky Gumbel. He is, I don't know if you guys, has anyone ever heard of Nicky Gumbel? Yeah, he's the founder of a course called Alpha. It's an evangelistic tool. So it's a very effective way of drawing people who are interested in the gospel. Very basic, just what is the gospel? What do you need to do to give your life to Jesus? Okay. So, I just want to read one of his tweets that I got the other day. "If the early Christians hadn't told people about Jesus, none of us today would know about him." Okay. Now, that's not entirely true, because Jesus can reveal himself to anyone. Okay. And we hear stories of people in the Amazon, or, you know, that have never heard the gospel preached to them, but Jesus has appeared to them, and they are having church, okay? So the Holy Spirit can reveal Jesus to people, but generally, people come to Christ by hearing the word preached, okay? And by reading the word themselves. So, but what I find interesting about his quote is that, and it's true, if we didn't have the forefathers that we had, who laid their lives down for the gospel, and who very meticulously and carefully wrote the word down, copied it over, checked that it was right, we wouldn't have the Bible today. We wouldn't be able to experience this wonderful tradition that we have, this Christian heritage that God has given us. Okay. Now, Rano mentioned last week that there are two physical sacraments or rituals that we do as Christians, and that is communion and baptism. Okay, so communion, what we do often in our church is once a month we'll have a communion service, and we will break bread and have the wine or the grape juice and share that together. But, I mean, there's nothing stopping us from doing that regularly and celebrating that. And we also have baptism services. If someone wants to be baptized, then after a Sunday service, we go and baptize people. But I want to propose that our greatest heritage today is God's word to us. And I want, you know, ask us, do we know God's word? Do we apply it in our lives? Do we read the word? Is it our hope? Do we the promises that God has given to us, do we make that our own? Do we understand that that is the life that God has given to us, and that we can have that fullness of life through His Word? And are we able to distinguish ourselves from the world by being obedient to God's will? Are we different? Do we take God's Word and obey it and apply it in our lives and show the world that we are different? We are Christians. We are God's sons and daughters. We're not going to conform to this world, as Manus was sharing now. We're looking forward. We're looking to a world to come. And God's Word is going to help us to live that life that He's called us to live. Okay, so I want us just to consider this as we read a few scriptures now. Okay. If you can turn with me to Deuteronomy 26. It's also nice to be able to preach to yourself when you have prepared a sermon. I'm reading from 26 verse 16, Deuteronomy 26, 16 to 19. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments, and that you will obey His voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people, just as He promised you, that you should keep all His commandments, and that He will set you high above all nations which He has made, in praise, in name, and in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as He has spoken. That word special in verse 18 where the word says, the Lord has proclaimed you to be His special people. The Strong's Concordance translates that word as possession, well, expands on that word, saying it's a possession, a personal property, a special treasure, a prized possession, royal treasure, and God's jewel. So, what God did was He called the nation of Israel out. He said, I want to make you a separate nation. I want to make you my special prized possession. You are the apple of my eye. That is also comes out of Deuteronomy. You are my beloved, and I've called you to be my people. So, the Israelites, they understood that they had been separated and that God's special blessing and anointing was on them as a nation. Okay. Now, when I was reading Deuteronomy, I just tried to figure out, now, why did the Lord again confirm this with the Israelites? They had sinned in the desert. They had been completely disobedient. They had no patience. So Moses goes up the mountain for 40 days. And the next thing, he comes down and the people have built an idol. They're worshipping this idol. They're having carnal relations with one another and just being completely debaucherous. And of course, God is angered at this. So Moses has to appease God and plead for God to honor His promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, that He will make a great nation out of them. And so God relents and He's faithful to His word. But it just struck me as, you know, why, Lord? Why these people? These people are disobedient to You. They haven't obeyed Your word fully. But God had made this promise to their forefathers. And so I just understood that Moses, God had called Moses out to lead the people. Okay, so he was the leader of the Israeli nation, and he was going to hand over to Joshua at this point. But if we go back then, Moses was from the tribe of Levi. Okay, so his great, 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 great grandfather was Levi, who was Joseph's brother. Okay, so Joseph was Moses' great uncle, and Joseph was, as we know, Jacob's son, and Jacob's father was Isaac, who was the promised son that God had promised to Abraham. Okay, so yeah, he was the son of the covenant. And if we read in Genesis 22, verse 15-18, Rano referred to this last week as well, so again, some overlap. Genesis 22, verse 15-18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and then they left. So what happened there was God tested Abraham. He made this promise to Abraham 10 chapters earlier. And he said, you're going to have a son. You're going to be a blessing to all nations. In you, I'm going to bless the world, basically. So, and God tested him, said, go and offer your son. You've had the son now, but I want to see if you can obey me. And as we heard last week, he goes and he obeys the Lord, but the Lord stops him just in time and he doesn't sacrifice his son. So through that, the faith of Abraham and his obedience to God's word and his personal sacrifice that he made, God said to him, as we've read now, I'm going to confirm this covenant with you. I'm going to say that you are going to produce a great nation, and in you all the nations of this earth shall be blessed. Now, if we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17-29, I'm going to start with what Rainer had shared with us last week. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was called, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. We see that in Genesis 15, verse 6, God says, because of your faith, you have been accounted for as righteousness. Because you believed in me, you have received righteousness. So I understood, okay, because of Abraham's obedience, God has confirmed his word. But why? Why Abram? Why did God call Abram out of Haran? And that's only because of God's grace. He's the sovereign God, and he has called all of us by his grace, to be saved through faith. And, I understood that, the blessing of the forefathers had now caused Israel to inherit these promises as well. Okay. So, what is the application for us today? Galatians 3, verse 5 to 14, and 26 to 29. I'm just going to read those scriptures quickly. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, and maybe some of you have Jewish blood. As far as I know, I don't have any, but it's possible. Because Abraham had multitude of descendants, as was promised to him. So he would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So that would include the Jews and the Gentiles. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise being made to Abraham. And as we read in Deuteronomy 26:18, God said to Israel, you are my special people. And by implication, what we're reading here is that our faith in Christ Jesus has made us a special people towards God. And we have exactly the same blessings that was bestowed on the Jewish nation, on the Israelis. Okay. And we can live by faith as God's special people. Now, I just want to read you some of the blessings that were given to the Israelites. I mean, this is obviously a famous passage of Scripture, but I just want us to hear these blessings. It's Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 14. Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now that's, the Israelites had enemies with spears and swords and, you know, axes and things. Our enemies is not flesh and blood. It's Satan and his army, and God has already got that victory over him. It's quite funny, if you're on Facebook sometimes and you think that the enemy is perhaps Julius Malema, because the way people go on, I mean, he's just a man, for goodness sake. I mean, but people want to say that's the enemy. And, let's rather talk about the man than a man. Okay. Now, verse 8 says, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Right? And then just the final scripture is Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 to 20. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So when we go to our place of work, we can choose God's blessing. We can choose life. When we go for an interview, we choose life. We choose God's blessing that he's given us. And we can walk boldly in the fact that we are his special people. When we're with our families, maybe that coming up now in December, choose life. Choose God's way. Choose his commandments. When you're struggling with a project at work or with your studies, or you're going through the storm, as we heard, then choose life. Choose God's way for you. Choose his blessing. Choose his heritage. Distinguish yourself from this world. Why should we conform to this world? Why should we want to go after things that are fleeting in this world, that are gonna burn, they're gonna pass away? Let's focus on the things that God has called us to. His blessings, his favor and life. And I just want us to encourage you today, whatever situation that you're going to find yourself in, if you're frustrated, if there are things that are frustrating you, we heard that there are people that are frustrated at this moment. Maybe next year is a challenge for you. You don't know what's going to happen. I want to share with you today and propose that God's blessing has come upon us, and we can boldly stand as God's sons and daughters in each situation that presents itself to us. Yeah, so if there's, if a challenge comes across your path, if it's, to come and try and deceive you and sidetrack you, then you can stand on God's word like Jesus did. If you are tempted, if there's some deception, perhaps you're struggling with deception tonight. There's something, you're trying to understand God's word, but there are these noises in your head and people throwing things around and trying to dispute Christianity. God has given his word to us. I just want to share when I got filled with the Holy Spirit a number of years ago now, I just left matric, and it was an amazing experience. But 6 months later, six or seven months later, there I am for the first time doubting whether God exists. And it was a spiritual attack. So God, I was just trying to understand, does God exist? Is he real? Is he really who he says he is? And then I could just understand that I had received God's power in my life. I had experienced the things that God's word had said. And I want us to be able to get to a point where we know God's word, where we know what the truth is. All right. I'm just going to pray for us now. And just before we go into some ministry, I just want to, just while I'm praying, to think about whether if you are struggling with what's going to happen next year, you don't know what you're going to do, you don't know how to approach life going forward, and there's some frustrations, we want to pray with you afterwards, okay? So just think about it. I'm gonna pray for us now, and then we can also pray individually for those of you that are struggling. Lord God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the tradition of your word, Lord God. This amazing heritage that we have as Christians. Father, you have blessed us abundantly with this word. And Lord, your word says that we are a blessed people, Father God. And God, I ask that you would come and speak into our hearts this evening and just make it clear to us, Lord, that we don't have to doubt. We don't have to fear, Lord. Wherever you send us, Lord God, Lord, we know that we go boldly, Lord. You go before us. You've created a path for us, Lord God. Lord, in spiritual things, in physical things, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds, Lord, you have created a blessing for us, Father, and we can receive that tonight. It's not about being arrogant or it's just about knowing that we are your sons and daughters, Lord, and that we can just step into that fullness tonight, Lord God. And Lord, I just want to pray for our minds this evening, Lord, where thoughts come to distract us, Lord, to lie to us, where the enemy wants to come and steal from us. Lord, I pray that we would become bold, Lord God, that we would be Christians that are determined Christians, Lord. We are not going to just lie down and let the enemy come and steal from us, Lord God. Lord, you are the God of the broken, Lord, but I just want to declare that when we come to you, Lord God, you give us power, Lord. You give us power to overcome. And God, remind us of that power, Lord, in each situation, God, to make a stand for you, Lord. Lord, we ask that we would be able to make a stand in our families and say the iniquities and the curses that might have happened up till now, those things are going to stop with me. It's not going past me. I'm going to make a stand for God's ways in my family. And I'm going to see God's blessings go from generation to generation. And we thank you, Lord, that we can speak that in our hearts tonight, Lord God. In Jesus' name.
Before we're going to end off, just allow for some prayer. If there's any specific request, I just while Grant was just sharing here, I was just thinking, because like the things we've been sharing, myself the last week and him, it's very, very similar. And Grant worked out his sermon before I preached mine. Being the faithful CA that he is. So it's really not a coincidence, just the lines in which you spoke of. And I was actually sitting here while Grant was speaking. I was just asking the Lord, why is he speaking to us about this? Talking about Abram, talking about the generations, but more specifically talking about obedience. And as I just prayed about it, I just felt like the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit and he just said, he's going to take us into times of, next year where amazing things are going to happen, and God is going to bring in the harvest and, awesome things are going to happen around us. And God is just blessing us at the moment, but he's taking us into a time where things are going to happen very quick, and a lot of things are going to happen. But if we don't have this obedience thing settled in our hearts, then we're going to miss what God has for us. And he's got big things in store for us. But if we don't see it immediately and run as God brings it before us and obey his voice implicitly. And it's just that implicit obedience that I believe God wants to stir in our hearts, because he's going to say things to us. And if we don't respond, if that implicit obedience is not so much part of us that we immediately respond, it's going to pass us. So it's just encouragement to share with you, God is working, and to allow that work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts. So let's just close off in prayer. Father, we just say yes to your working. We say yes to your unctioning. We say, Lord, that we desire obedient hearts. We desire to be as Abram, Lord. To walk in your promises, Lord. To see the promise that is invisible, intangible, but Lord, to grab hold of it because it's from you, Father. We say, Lord, we desire to be like that and make our hearts, Lord, have obedient hearts. Father, we realize that we're moving into a different time. And Lord, the old is not sufficient anymore. The old way that we've related to you is not sufficient anymore, but we need to step up, and we say yes to that tonight, Lord. We step up to the new level that you have for us. In Jesus' name.